Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Chris Young. Chris is the chief executive officer of McAfee, a $2.5 billion revenue device-to-cloud cybersecurity company with 97 million enterprise endpoints and 525 million consumer endpoints. McAfee operates in 189 countries, serving 80% of the Fortune 100. As CEO, Chris works with industry leaders to offer protection through leading-edge cybersecurity. Prior to his current role, Chris served as the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Intel Security Group and led cybersecurity efforts at Cisco, RSA, and AOL. As a highly respected leader in cybersecurity, Chris advises the U.S. government on national security and emergency preparedness. He also serves on the board of directors of American Express and Snapchat. In this interview, Chris explains how the cybersecurity industry faces a dual challenge of keeping up with the transformations that happen within core technologies while simultaneously tracking the innovative nature of cyber attackers. Staying current requires consistent research, collaboration within the industry, acquisitions, and partnerships. Chris describes some of the best practices he sees within the cybersecurity space, including red teaming and risk prioritization. We also discuss the future advanced forms of analytics and AI within cybersecurity, his career path, his advice to individuals on how best to protect their information, and a variety of other topics.
Well, Chris Young, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Great. Thank you.
So, Chris, you are the chief executive officer of McAfee, an organization that you joined via Intel. You became part of Intel or joined the company in late 2014 as the senior vice president and general manager of Intel Security Group, which McAfee was a part of. And then were part of the spin out of McAfee. The company had been acquired in 2010 by Intel and then spun back out during your tenure and thus your taking on your current role as chief executive officer. What was the rationale for the spin?
Part of the reason for Intel to spin McAfee out was to allow the company to really focus on the core mission of cybersecurity. You know, after I joined Intel several years ago, almost 5 years ago now, we started on a number of discussions. We spent a lot of time working through the strategy as it related to cybersecurity. And through that process that, you know, that we conducted, you know, myself, our CEO at the time, that we worked through, ultimately led us to the conclusion that the best way to tackle the cybersecurity problem, the best way for McAfee to be focused on our mission was to have it become a separate company again. And that was really the driving force behind spinning McAfee out of Intel in 2017.
And now as an independent entity, you know, you operate in one of the hottest spaces, almost unfortunately, one of the hottest spaces because of the need for security services by companies and individuals for that matter. How do you differentiate yourself in a sea of so many technology firms that are focused on cybersecurity?
I think there's the number of ways in which the market, our customers look at us differently than others that are out there. One, you know, security is a business that is about trust, and we've spent many years building trust in the McAfee brand, in the company, and, you know, whether you're talking about our enterprise customers, our government customers, or even the consumers, the millions of consumers who work with us, a lot of our differentiation is the trust that we've built up and the expertise and what we've been able to deliver in terms of value to them over the years. Secondly, the size and scale of what we do, the amount of information that we're able to collect because of all the different, you know, devices that we cover, the people we protect across the globe, again, whether it's consumers, enterprises, governments around the world, gives us a unique perspective on the broader threat landscape, and we're able to translate that into defenses that are helping our customers of all kinds protect themselves more effectively against the cyber threat. And then the last one would be, we've moved to innovate to cover other elements of cybersecurity that are newer, I should say, and more in their growth trajectory. For example, you know, we've expanded to become more of a cloud security company over the course of the last several years. And that's helping us expand and provide cybersecurity visibility and control in all aspects of our customers' cloud transformation journey as well. Mm.
It's an unfortunate fact that the bad actors are quite innovative and constantly developing new means of penetrating enterprises, for example, and trying to in their attempts to steal valuable information, among other tactics that they pursue. I'm curious, how do you stay current? How do you determine new areas to get into? And then I think a related question would be, how do you think about growth into adjacent areas relative to expanding your current offering through acquisition versus expanding it through kind of internal means?
You know, staying current requires a lot of diligence in this industry. As you pointed out, it's a fast-moving space. What I always like to say about cybersecurity is, you know, we have a dual challenge to manage, which is unique to almost any other sector of technology, in the sense that we have to keep up with all the changes and the transformations that happen in the core underlying technologies that companies and consumers rely on. So whether it's mobile or cloud or advanced analytics, all of those trends impact us. But of the second challenge we face is the innovative nature of the cyber attacker themselves. So we do have to spend a lot of energy maintaining currency in that particular aspect of what we do. And one of the couple ways we do that. One is we have people who are very focused on the cyber threat landscape. So we have researchers. You know, there are people who are actually producing content that goes into our products. We also have people doing advanced research. Just for McAfee, we have people who are dedicated to our customers' environments, working with them on advanced researchers. So, you know, really what it takes is ultimately a community of people inside of McAfee and people who sit outside of McAfee that we stay very connected with to keep us sort of in the flow of what's happening as it relates to the cyber threat landscape. But it's constantly evolving, as you point out. And we're constantly trying to stay connected in as many ways as we possibly can, you know, whether it's through technology, through people, through the way in which we interact with others in the industry. You know, for example, we work in a variety of industry groups. Cyber Threat Alliance is a good example. It's a group of cybersecurity companies that we helped co-found several years ago, where we work with others who are competitive in many regards in our industry. But through that kind of an organization, we do joint research programs, we share threat intelligence, and that's just yet another example of how we stay connected to what's happening in the broader threat landscape. So that's the first part of your question. To your second question, how do you drive innovation? How do you, you know, tackle some of the adjacencies that are out there? It's consistently, I would say, across the board in one of three key areas. You know, we're constantly building new capability. In some cases, we've chosen to acquire. In other cases, we've chosen to partner. We acquired in cloud, as an example, to get us going. We acquired a company called Skyhigh Networks, as an example, just over a year ago. And that kind of led our foray into the cloud access security broker space, which is primarily about protecting data and stopping threats, setting policy, and having visibility into SaaS applications. But since we bought the company, we've been expanding to cover applications and data that are custom in nature, running on infrastructure and platform as a service environments as well. So providing visibility and control for cloud across a variety of different use cases. And that's increasingly an area of expansion for us. We've also double down on our commitment to cloud. All of our traditionally available products, for example, now are consumable as cloud services. One of the biggest announcements we made in 2018, so just at the end of last year, was the announcement of our MVision launch. MVision is our cloud family of product offerings. So our traditional offerings, our endpoint security, our data loss prevention, our SIM, our IPS, you name it, all of our products today are either consumable as SaaS offers from us, or to be provided as services that can be spun up on cloud environments like AWS and the like. So we have made a big commitment to making security capabilities available via the cloud, as well as to provide visibility and security for cloud environments for our customers. It's a big part of what we're doing and a big way in which we're expanding into areas of coverage for security that are top of mind for our customers.
You know, as you have reason to work with a great number of chief information security officers or chief information officers or others who are who run the agenda within companies, I recognize, of course, you've got a consumer portfolio as well. I'm curious, are there certain practices that you see working particularly well? I mean, a lot, of course, what you're offering are the solutions, how they are used, how the company is organized, the practices that they are putting in place that are complementary to the offerings that you're providing are also essential to determine whether or not they're going to be successful or not in keeping the bad actors out and keeping their information secure. And I realize this could go in a whole range of areas, but I wonder if there's some things that sort of are front of mind that you've seen as some best practices in terms of how best to manage security within the enterprise.
Some of the best practices that we see out there in the industry would fall in a couple categories. One, the best practice that I see a lot of organizations using today is red teaming, really attacking themselves and using that as an opportunity to learn how adversaries will come at them and then adapting their defenses in accordance with what they're finding, the weaknesses they're finding. That takes things like vulnerability management. It takes risk assessments and some of that kind of foundational work and puts it into practice, I think, in a real way. It's kind of a little bit different. So, for example, if you think about the world in terms of sports, it's good to have all the fundamentals, but in some ways you got to feel good about how you put that together in practice, which simulates a game style situation. And red teaming is kind of similar. You take all the fundamentals of, you know, we understand our vulnerabilities, we understand our systems, we have tools in place, we have people working in a security operations team. Okay, now let's test whether all those different pieces can come together when we effectively simulate an attack. And so I see that as a way that some of the best practices or some of the best teams are out there that are out there in cybersecurity are employing that to their benefit. In fact, I had a CISO tell me this over dinner a month or so ago. He said, you know, one of the things that's made us so much better in our craft has been, you know, the fact that we really pay a lot of attention to attacking ourselves. So that would be number one. I think number two is really understanding areas of risk to any organization and prioritizing ruthlessly, because you can't do it all. I mean, you can't cover, for a large organization, you can't cover everything. And so you've got to have the ability to understand what's most important and am I best positioned to protect it? Because you will have situations where attackers will either directly come at an organization or you may get hit by malware or other forms of attacks that just happen to be spread and you know, not necessarily discriminate about where, you know, where or what the target would look like. And so you want to make sure that, you know, even if there are machines that get compromised in your organization, that the attacker isn't able to leverage that into more critical assets in their pursuit of their goal. So I think those are two areas in particular, red teaming oneself effectively and then really understanding risk and placing defenses around that in the right areas, I think is becoming, I think those are two of the best practices that I see. A third one I'll add is just making sure that you understand the expansion of your own environment, cloud being probably the biggest area. A lot of customers today still aren't there. They still don't have the right level of visibility and control across all the different aspects of their applications and data that are being increasingly either leveraged into the cloud as SaaS or being placed into the cloud because there's a lift and shift going on in their IT infrastructure.
Yeah, very interesting. Also, I'm curious what role you see artificial intelligence playing. You know, there's been a lot written about the benefit of human and analytics, you know, kind of working together, machine learning, artificial intelligence working together. And given the vast expansion of the threat landscape, as well as the innovation of the bad actors, as we've discussed, having algorithms working with humans in order to play both a shrewd offense and a defense becomes that much more important. What role do you see it playing?
Human-machine teaming is an incredibly important growth area for the industry. It's certainly something that we believe in heavily at McAfee. In fact, our CTO, Steve Grobman, has been talking about human-machine teaming as the way in which to leverage advanced forms of analytics, AI, et cetera. So, you know, we're big believers in human-machine teaming. And there's still today questions or scenarios that require humans, but certainly the machines themselves and large-scale analytics on large data sets is a way in which you can give humans reach and depth that they couldn't otherwise get on their own. So that, you know, putting the two capabilities together, I think is quite powerful. And I think increasingly, you know, advanced forms of analytics, AI, is going to be foundational to everything we do in cybersecurity. In fact, if you think about it, you know, advanced forms of analytics and AI are becoming foundational to most aspects of technology. The way in which content gets delivered, the way in which we interact with our devices is increasingly actually based, you know, sort of assisted by AI or forms of AI. And I think cybersecurity is going to be no different than that.
Very interesting. I'm also curious, how did you get into security? Although you're still relatively young, a 40-something CEO, you've been a founder and a CEO and a GM in multiple businesses. You founded your first a business 22 years ago, almost exactly, and it was in the security space. How did you find yourself, kind of attracted to that space?
You know, you never, what I find in a career is you want to have kind of a sense of where you're going, but sometimes things take you, the life takes you in different directions. And I can tell you when we started in the industry, as you mentioned, 22 plus years ago at this point, we set out on a different mission. We were more focused on how we were going to deliver content differently, because in those days, the connectivity speeds that we had available to us to access content on the internet was very different. But then we ended up, as we focused on delivering content, as you know, we would talk to a number of potential customers, and some customers were starting to say to us, look, one of the challenges we have is with the security of our content. We don't know where it is. We don't know what people are doing. And we could certainly use someone to help us organize, understand, have visibility into our content, what are people doing with it. And that's how the idea for my company, Cyvalence, which I founded with three other guys back in the 90s, was born. And I've been in and around cybersecurity ever since then. And, you know, as you might recall, we didn't even call it cybersecurity that far back. It was more oftentimes known as something InfoSec or information security was more the kind of terminology that we use. Cyber is something that kind of came into the modern and sort of common lexicon for our industry many years after that.
And I mentioned earlier, of course, McAfee not only serves enterprises, but also individuals. And I'm curious, as somebody who has such depth of experience in this space, now runs a company of such consequence, how do you manage your own personal security, if you will, your own cybersecurity in ways that, you know, that you might advise others to emulate?
So consumer security is very important, and it's evolving as fast, if not faster, than enterprise security. You know, consumers are, you know, perhaps even more than enterprises oriented around, you know, giving their, like, letting other third parties use their data. And so much of what I think the consumer has to be worried about in today's world is the information that they have that's increasingly now out there in different repositories. And it's one of the reasons why we've been on a mission to expand our ability to help the consumer protect their privacy, to help consumers protect their data. You know, we've added password management. We've added, we acquired a company a year ago called TunnelBear, which is a cloud-based VPN provider. We do that in addition to all the malware tools that we provide to consumers to help them, excuse me, protect their digital lives. And so I think that increasingly the consumer it has to think about the world, almost similar to a small business. You know, now consumers have home networks, they have many different devices that are connected. You know, one of the newer products in our portfolio is something called our Secure Home Platform, where we're, you know, protecting all the devices in the home. So the consumer has a broad range of concerns. They have to worry about devices, they have to worry about information. If you have a family, you're worried about multiple people. So I think the consumer security challenge is becoming more complex, similar to the rest of cybersecurity. From a personal perspective, I try to be judicious with where I put my information. That's number one. Number two, I try to make sure that I'm using good security tools in the home to protect the different devices against malware and some of the kinds of attacks that consumers, like ransomware, that consumers can become victim to. Practice good password hygiene is another one. I think that's incredible. In fact, if I was going to tell the consumer anything, good password hygiene is your most effective defense against the kind of things that you'd want to worry about. Because most of the consumers, the big thing that they get hit with is somehow their accounts get compromised because, you know, someone either got their password from another site that got compromised, or there was malware in a machine. You type something in, they got the password. So use two-factor where you can. Use different passwords at different sites. Use complex passwords at different sites. As a consumer, that is the most important thing you can do. The next most important thing you can do is making sure that you've got good security tools, whether it's McAfee or someone else, running on the machines in your home. That's very important.
Good advice indeed. So we're curious, as you look forward 2 or 3 years, how do you see the company evolving? What are some of the things that are currently on your strategic roadmap?
We're evolving to become more focused on the insight that we can deliver to the customer. You talked about the evolution of artificial intelligence in security. It just, the challenge that a lot of organizations have is, how do I get very pinpointed at identifying attacks that are coming in my direction? How do I understand what the adversary is doing? How do I see where I have points of weakness in my cybersecurity infrastructure? And so increasingly, one of the things that we're trying to deliver to our customers is good insight. So we can, we have roughly 1 billion sensors around the world when you add up all the consumer devices and all the enterprise and government, coverage points that we have in our cybersecurity architecture, and bringing a lot of the data and information together in ways that we can help our customers better understand attacks that are happening broadly, how those different attacks may relate to their environment, either helping them see things that might be happening early or getting quick at how they go after a threat or an attack after the fact, is really an area of focus for us. And I think it makes the tools and the technology that we deliver to our customers, whether that's in traditional infrastructure or in the cloud, it makes those all the more valuable to the customer.
Well, Chris Young, thank you so much for joining us on Technovation today and sharing some of your perspectives on the evolution of cybersecurity, the role that McAfee will play, your own personal evolution as well. It's been a great conversation.
Peter, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Laszlo Bock, the CEO of Humu and former Chief People Officer of Google.